With the extension of the Briscoe Center's exhibit History and Fate, The Goodwins of the 1960s, which details pivotal moments of the civil rights era through the papers of Doris Kearns Goodwin and Dick Goodwin, we've decided to put a spotlight on some of the individual items we have on display. Today, I'm joining curator Sarah Sonner.
So, Sarah, can you tell me a little bit about this exhibit?
So this exhibit showcases a recent acquisition of the papers of Doris Kearns Goodwin and her late husband, Dick Goodwin.
Awesome. And how long does this run for?
So we are extending the show until December 12th of 2025.
Great. Was there a specific item you thought really stuck out to you when you were curating all this?
Well, one of the things that was really interesting to discover in the papers and that we wanted to feature in the show were Dick's drafts of his experience at the Conrad Hilton in the Chicago 1968 Democratic National Convention.
Why did that seem so pivotal or so important?
First of all, it's not something that he wrote about in his own memoir, Remembering America. So we were interested to find multiple versions of his story, of his experience, of what happened when he saw police attacking volunteers for the McCarthy campaign.
What were the tones of this paper? What did he say?
So there are several different versions of the draft. Each one of them have annotations that are not in his handwriting. We know that we can tell that from his other handwriting in the show. We're not quite sure whose annotations they are. They may or may not be Doris's. What was interesting to me was that there are several different versions of his retelling of this memory. And some of them really incorporate what he saw at the Chicago Hilton, what he witnessed of the McCarthy kids, as he called them, being injured by the police and being beaten with clubs in some cases. And in some of these drafts, he sets it in a wider kind of philosophical context, thinking about other events of 1968, which was, you know, a really eventful year for him and for the nation as a whole. And other drafts are a more straightforward narration of exactly what happened, but again, within a wider political context.
What exactly do these drafts and papers say at the time?
So at the time, he is looking at this in what we think are the older drafts, in a more sort of wide-set context of the political world at the time, Humphrey's reaction to his request for help on that actual night, his assessments of Humphrey's character, his comparison between McCarthy's response and Humphrey's response, and his thinking about LBJ and other aspects of the administration that he had experience with. What we think is the later draft, and what then shows up more clearly in his work with Doris, in their own work later on, that we used as a structure for the show in many ways, is a more straightforward narration of the events that actually happened and things that he witnessed firsthand. So you have more of a personal point of view, but also more of a documentary style memoir.
How does this connect with other items within the exhibit?
So we cited this as one of the main case displays in the section that looks at the DNC in 1968. And as multiple versions of a firsthand account, this echoes what we see in large format photographs that we include from elsewhere in our archive, and also a piece of propaganda that we found that he had saved in his own papers. And that piece of propaganda is a publication by Mayor Daley called What Really Happened in Chicago. So it contrasts with that in terms of the official mayor's Chicago version of, you know, the accounts of protesters coming across state lines and being outside agitators and wanting to protect law and order.
When you were first going through everything, processing and curating, did you pick up immediately that this was an important piece?
Yeah, we identified this pretty early on. We didn't find that contrasting magazine publication until much later, and we were really interested to see that he had saved that, and in a different section of the archive as well. So we were interested in showing this firsthand narration because this was such a pivotal moment for him personally and for the nation as a whole. Here's a quote from what we think may be one of the first or earlier drafts of this. The cops and the kids, not a collision of the old politics and the new, rather the two kinds of new politics, clashing while the leaders of the old, so in command in the convention hall, looked on helplessly, not knowing how to react, and so reacting badly. there was the new politics of youth, of participation, of liberation from system and institution, to grasp power and not confer it, a politics for individuals, allowing each a share in mastery over the state, the environment, over public acts, a politics of liberation, combining the old slogans of right and left, in disregard of irrelevant battle lines, against federal power and for more help to the poor.
It does seem like, as contrasted to some of the speeches he wrote, a much more, not just personal, but very reflective view of everything, rather than something for public consumption.
Exactly, yeah. And one of the interesting contrasts as well is that we have such different versions of this draft, where if you look at some of the other speeches in the exhibit, you can see that these phrases, these iconic phrases, emerged almost wholesale in the very first draft. So his process of working through his own thoughts and perspectives for something personal, in contrast to when he was writing for another person.
Are there other, like, kind of striking images or quotes from this?
One that jumped out at me from what may be the probably the middle draft is him asking himself, if I were to have placed myself in the hands of safety in Chicago, whom would I have chosen? There were only two groups safe to be with in Chicago, the Secret Servicemen and the McCarthy workers. And how could you tell a McCarthy worker? They did cut their hair by their face. They were faces of trust and honesty and simplicity and quiet belief. We have forgotten how to read faces, just as we have forgotten what weapons are, just as we have forgotten what violence is, just as we have forgotten who is injuring whom. Think about it before the pictures in Life magazine come out. So he says, after he's describing the actual events and McCarthy actually coming down to the lobby and really defusing the situation, he writes, I had worked for two presidents of the United States, occupied a high rank in the Department of State, served in the inner circle of four presidential campaigns, but in the lobby of a Chicago hotel at 4 a.m. of a midsummer evening in the tumultuous year of 1968, none of it mattered. All my credentials, my association with men of high position, could not even deflect the angry determination of a dozen Chicago cops. They had no lawful justification for their raid, still less for the violence of their assault. No laws had been broken. The peace had not been disturbed. They had met no resistance. But they had clubs, they had their orders.
History and Fate, The Goodwins in the 1960s, will be on display at the Briscoe Center through December 12, 2025. The collections of both Dick Goodwin and Doris Kearns Goodwin are available to students and scholars for research.